Escape the Brute, April 11, 1948. You're in the mid-ocean, aboard a jinx ship. Already 9 men have died. You know that some malevolent force is aimed at you, which you cannot escape. Ned, you can never tell if it by just looking at her, proud and strong and beautiful on the outside. You couldn't see the black-hearted side of her. You never know. She'd killed at least a dozen men, and maybe more. I knew her. Knew her for the minnowing she-devil she was. I saw her the day she killed her first one. I was there too when she finally made a big mistake and killed the wrong person. But that was a long time ago, later. Oh, she had a name all right. But after that first day, the first killing, nobody but the family ever used it again. Everybody else from that day on would look at her, half afraid, half snarling. They called her the Brute. Boatyard background, whistles and bells. Ned. I remember I was 14 the day my father took me down to the side of Thames boatyard to watch the launching of the ship. Mother Charlie was there, of course, 8 years older than me, very proud of his one gold stripe. Now that he was made an officer in the AFS line, Charlie and father were talking. I just stood and listened to them. Didn't say much of anything myself. Try look at her, Dad. Ever see a ship in your life which lines like that? Bet you outsell mine any clipper, Chinese trained. Though, oh, that remains to be seen, Johnny. How soon are you going to launch her? Charlie, any minute now. Oh, I'd give a loss to be sailing on her instead of on the Malcolm at Peace. Father, oh, the Malcolm's a good ship, son. The goodest ship as any the Peace family owns. Charlie, oh, I'm not kicking. I'm glad enough to be through apprenticeship and get my commission. But even at that, I must rather be boatswain on this ship than a third mate on the Malcolm. Well, I understand that, of course, she says, to be a captain. Charlie, yes, that's right. Oldest commander, the Peace and Sons line. Look at the size of her. Dad, she'd be full of two dozen tons. Jeremy approaches, correcting, less than half a ton, Charlie. Father, oh, good morning, Mr. Jeremy. Jeremy, greetings. Ah, Mr. Wilmot. Hello, Ned. Ned, how do you do, sir? Jeremy. No, Charlie. It came to 1,999.5 when we measured her up. Charlie, well, 2,000 tons or not, Mr. Jeremy. You'll never build a better ship than this one. Jeremy, I don't know, Charlie. I built her the way Mr. Apes wanted her. She's big and she's stout, but I don't know. Father, what's your reason for saying that, sir? Jeremy, no reason that makes any sense. Where the devil's own time of her? Captain doors jamming with his shouldn't. Cat's covers that wouldn't fit after they had been measured up. Blocks falling for no reason at all. Sorry, I don't know, Mr. Wilmot, but she was a human brain. I say that maybe she's insane. Father, oh, come now. You've been working too hard, Mr. Jeremy. Better take a vacation now that she's finished. Jeremy, well, I could certainly use. Johnny, I say, that's Maggie Colchester up there, the captain's niece. She going to be to the christening? Jeremy, that's right, Johnny. I better get down below now. Moving off my own men. We're going to break, knock the stave loose. And let us lie down into the water. Farewell, good luck, Mr. Jeremy. Jeremy, thanks, Mr. Wilmot. Come aboard for the celebration of his launch. Bring the boy. Father calls after him. Fine, thank you. We should be there, Charlie. We'll let her go any minute now, Dad. I'm going to sell that ship someday. Father, oh, you'll probably sell on a lot of Aspie. lying shit before you would be through, Charlie. Trey, look, they've given Maggie the champagne now. She's going to christen it. Father relaxed from below. Yes, listen, Maggie. Off, shall I do it now? Jeremy, off. Yes, Mr. Crowchester. Maggie, off. I christen the Eclipse family. Sam, battleship, Bottlesmith against soul. Father Apps family. So that's what you're naming her. Jeremy shouts off. All right, men. Knock off the stays. Here go. Wooden stays knocked out with hammers. Ship slaves begins to slide in the water. Crowd cheers, whistles, applauds. Charlie, look, Dad. She's starting to move. There she goes. Father, yes. Look at the speed. Never saw a shout. Jeremy, look out. Phil. Some in the crowd scream in horror, mixed with cheers, the ship's whistle blasting. Mermaid crowd continues. Trey, good Lord, he fell right into the way. She went over him. Father, he didn't fall. A tinder rolled off the deck and knocked him under. Charlie, she slid under him. Mr. Jeremy, man who built her? Father, she's launched in blood. And if that means anything, she's a brute and a murderess now. Charlie, still think you'd like to sell on her? Charlie, it was an accident. It doesn't mean anything. Father, perhaps not. Charlie, I'll sell on her someday. Sooner or later, I will sell on her. Ned, well, the way things worked out, I was the one to sell on her first, instead of Charlie. He'd gone on out to the Orient, aboard of Malcolm. 6 months later, when I started to print my apprenticeship, found a company was assigned me. Report to Captain Colchester, the Apps family, or the Brute, as everyone was calling her privately. Tugboats at Indians. Ned, there was some kind of mix-up in sailing orders. By the time they came on board, the tug already had a line on the big sailing ship, was starting to ease her stern first out into the channel. Colchester, all right now, ease the head there. Take up the slack, Red. Captain Colchester was at the top now, shouting orders to the tug captain. The mates were forward somewhere, handing check line. Colchester, you've got the slack now? All the way. Ned, I stood at the waist, waiting for a chance to pull in and watching a young fellow about my own age was doing something or another up aloft on the mizzenmast. Above me, the tug were drawn, line and tilt. But the whole ship hadn't started to move yet. Colchester, they've got no way on her yet. Turn your engines up to full speed. Tugboat engines grow louder. Ned, the boat tug was churning the water. The hamster was tight as a bowstring. They still didn't move. Colchester, keep her up. Hold on her. Ned, then suddenly the ship gave a lurch and started back. Like a bucking horse. Ship launches, crew shouts in panic. Ned, a man forward and had no chance to ease the jack cable. A second later it snapped. Cable snaps. Ned, the ship plunges on back and then sheared over. Ship smashes against the pier head. Ned smashed against the pier head and knocked me sprawling on deck. At that moment, Hawkins screams in horror. Bodies crash to deck. Ned, a lad who went working aloft on the mast, crashed down into the deck, and only 10 feet away from me. He lay there without moving. Colchester, give me a hand here, in my waist, straight. Husband, young Hawkins just fell out of the top. Colchester, aye, balls. It's too bad. Ned, I know, is he dead, Captain Colchester? Colchester, he's dead, boy. They got a hold of yourself. Don't stand there, Tembling. You've never seen somebody dead before? Ned, yes, sir. A day they launched this ship. The coaches, old Jeremy, huh? A young Ned Wilmot, I suppose. Young apprentice, Ned. Yes, sir. Coaches, sir. And no doubt you may have heard this ship called by an unpleasant name once in a while. Ned, yes, sir, the Brute. Coaches, sir, stern. Well, you'll be kind enough to remember. While you're aboard, and her name is the Apes family. She had her share of accidents, same as any other ship. Is that quite clear? Ned, yes, sir. Colchester, Ned, along forward with you. As though you'd clear away on the false sails, you'd take over young Hawkins' duties for the time being? Ned, yes, sir. Ned, I sailed aboard the Brute for the next few years. Watched her kill 9 men during the time. Got so we tried to outguess her. Tried to figure out how she'd do it next time. But no matter what we think, we never were right. It wasn't only killing. It was everything. Most ships have little ways. All their own. How you learn about all allow for them. But not her. It was like a crazy woman. You never knew what she'd do next. I remember once off the Gold Coast, she ran before a gale for 2 days of pretty as you please, and then broached twice the same afternoon. Flung the helmsman clean over the wheel the first time. The second time swamped himself fore and aft, split out every stitch of the canvas. And after we got the decks cleaned up, we found one seaman had been got overboard. He was a fifth. I guess it was maybe the sixth. Oh, she was beautiful, the Amps family was. Big and proud and beautiful, along with it, a killer. They had a black-hearted, sea-going brute. Ned, my brother Charlie was on a Christmas China run. All that time, first on the Malcolm, late on the Lacy Epps. We never happened to hit Falkland at the same time. Finally time when my practice was up, we boomed into the London at the end of the trip. I went before the board for my papers. 8 short laugh, I guess they figured anybody who stayed alive for 4 years of the brute must be seaman anyway. I passed and Mr. Epps granted me my selling orders along with a commission. Assigned a third mate to Captain Colchester and the Apps family. Colchester, well, congratulations, Ned. Glad you're going to stay with us. Ned, thanks, Captain Colchester. Colchester, you've been a hard-working apprentice. I have no doubt that you'd be a good officer. In fact, we have a man aboard who make sure that. Ned, puzzled. Why? What? Do you mean, Captain Colchester? Got his new first mate on this trip. Calls, come in, Charlie. Ned, astonished Charlie. Charlie, well, hello there, youngster. I say you've been doing a bit of growing in the last few years. Ned, delighted. Charlie, I hadn't seen you know where in port. Charlie, been in for a week, sort of down country. Now I hear you fooled the board. Ned, good natured, careful man. You're talking about your own first mate. Try, yes. So they tell me. Well, you'll be jumping lively on this trip, my boy. Ned, easy, easy. Don't forget, I know this ship and you don't. Try, well, I've learned it quick enough. Been wanting the chance for a long time. Between us, I think we can even break this jinx. Colchester, lad, there's no talk of a jinx on this trip. None of least in the cabin, as long as Maggie's going around. Long. Ned, Maggie? Who's Maggie? Colchester, ask your brother. I think he's the one who talked to it. It's a trip, though. She claims it was for her health. I chuckle. I'll leave you two to get acquainted. Moving off. We're about 10 days of loading, if you've got any plans. Ned, they'll be talking about... What's he talking about, Charlie? Who's Maggie? Charlie, his niece. Charlie, Maggie Colchester. Remember? The girl christened the ship. Ned, of course, only you're not. Charlie, haven't Dad told you where I have been spending, surely, for the last year or a half? Ned, no, Charlie. Didn't know anything about it. Charlie, well then, let me do something. Now, if I get my way, Meg and I will be wearing this before the trip's over. Here, take a look. Ned, depressed, blimey, that's all right. Charlie, yes, I've brought it in Cape Town. A blue, white diamond set in platinum. Ned, it's big enough to go over a finger? Charlie, oh, it's big enough, all right. And that's where it's going, if I can talk her into it. Maggie approaches Ann. Who's going to talk him into what? Charlie, nervous chuckle, Maggie. I was saying this, I hoped I could talk you into going ashore for dinner with me. Maggie, you were you now. Gills, you big liar. Charlie, Maggie, this is my brother, Ned. Ned, this is Maggie. Maggie, now, how do you go? Ned impressed. Hello? Maggie, and you one of the officers too? Ned, new third mate. Maggie, well, I certainly hope you more truthful than your brother. Merely Maggie? Maggie, whose reservation? Whose reservation dinner? I'm accepting with pleasure. Charlie, please. Oh, really? Maggie, cheery, moving off. See you around later. Charlie, oh, right you are. About an hour. Ned, pause. Charlie, she's lovely. Charlie, oh, she's more than that. Ned, she's everything as far as I'm concerned. Ned, oh, in that case, good luck. I hope you get her. Charlie, well, we'll see about that anyway. With Maggie abroad, we've got to make sure this drink ship stays on good behavior for once. Then, I'll be the first time if she does. Very well, it's the first time we've both. The Wilmots have been on board together. We'll tame her down, Ned. We'll make her calm, peaceful. The old world calls. Just you wait and see if you don't. Ned, and there's a strange part of it was, he's right, we stole out past Gray's End, made a passage that was trying closest in 121 days, the finest weather that could have ever hoped to meet. And for the first time in our bloody life, the old ship settled down, settled herself as neat as it could please. Charlie and I would talk about it sometime when married, he wasn't around, and he always laughed. And say the brute knew when she met her match, and she didn't dare try but the way two of us when she was met her match. And she didn't dare try but the two of us, but I was more ready to give the credit to Maggie to think maybe she charmed the old mistress the way she charmed all the rest of us. From the second day out, Maggie was the secret darling on every map on the board. She's only another ship here, there and everywhere, with red tram and red blue eyes, never still a minute, having the time of her life. It's come along for her health. She found it before she passed Gray's End. Ned, we raised a storm and passage back and ran 4 days in the heavy gale. I stood by her head in my breath, ready for everything, and nothing happened. The old lady that finally held up my head, sailed along like a seagull. Only time before, after the before, she buried her gutter whales in the quartering seas. Now all the water she shipped, you could put in a teacup 100 times. 190 days from Hong Kong, it raised a dim glass light, and early the next morning, picked up a tug off Sheerness for the long tow up river to London. Tugboat engine putters. Ned, ship forward along on the tow line like a puppy on a leash. We moved slowly up the river past Gray's End. All of us were glad to be home, but Maggie most of all, I think, because she'd never been at sea so long before. I had a smile at the way she danced around in the bows, picking out one landmark after another. We came to them, sometimes standing up on a spare anchor, we get taken in the fore deck in order to get a barrier. But look, if ever banks ahead. She wasn't the ring, wearing the ring yet. I knew she was going to. And was only teasing Charlie as long as possible. Tugboat whistle blows, engine out. Charlie, what's wrong, Ned? A tug stopped her engines. Ned, collision up ahead of the channel. Charlie looks like a yawl and a schooner fouled together. Charlie, oh yes, well, looks like they're clearing it up now. Guess we can move along again in a couple of minutes. Called Maggie, why didn't you go up to the disaster deck? You're in the way up for out there. Maggie, oh, I'll be all right. Charlie, stop worrying. We're almost home. Ned laughs. Better save your orders to the crew, Charlie. She ain't you, Charlie. Oh, I take orders from her any day. Yes, we're almost home, Ned. We had a lucky voyage. Ned, it's the first halfway decent piece of trip I've ever made up the river, old brute. Doug, Charlie, oh, I told you to be tame and down. You turned over new leaf, Ned. Ned, well, it looks, won't last long. She keeps shearing off. Then drifting back down the channel. Tell you, huh? Oh, yes. Heading straight for those fishing smacks. Ned, better than her tug start. And her old talk line in her. Whispers ain't easy. I've seen her do this before, Charlie. Yes, calls. Ahoy, the tugs. Take up the slack and get her straight in the channel. Hold her against the current. Tugboat whistles, engine putters. Yet any other ship that would have been held steady for 2-3 minutes we stopped, but not the old Apps family. Now, with the tug tightened up on a haster, pulling on an angle across the bow, she wouldn't respond, wouldn't budge. The old girl wanted her own way. She was just as stubborn as ever. Johnny, ahoy, crash, calls, ahoy, the tug. We're still drifting, open up to full speed. Tug, boat, whistle, blast. Johnny confound her. Never saw a ship act like this, said. Yeah, the hooster was pulled so tight, it was humming, and the tug's paddles, with her engines full, whipped up the water like a mill race. And then it happened, the Hobito truck tore loose from the deck. Chuck crushes and drags loose across the wooden deck. The crew yells warning. Ned, the hooster began sliding across the bow, ripping out rail stanchions like matchsticks. Wooden brows rapidly snap. Ned, there I saw it was going to sweep under the flukes of spare anchor, the anchor that Maggie was standing on. Charlie shouts, Maggie, get off that anchor, right account. Maggie, terrified, Charlie, long hesitant scream. Huge crash of anchor smashing from side of ship. She tried to jump clear, but she was too late. The great anchor tripped up its side, crushed about the waist, and like a moon elm of steel, it had carried her with it, and slung low and over, and smashed against the side of the ship. Ship whistle blows. Charlie, she went in the water, take charge of the deck. Ned, moving off, I'm going in after her. Colchester, approaching Ned, what was that, Maggie? Ned, yes, sir. She's overboard, Captain Colchester. Colchester whistles in horror. Maggie, to herself. Oh, the dirty bumbling brute. Now it's the woman she's killing. Shouts, let go the port anchor. Hail this ship as she is. And get the boats over. Crew, sir. Ned, I hadn't told Charlie. I didn't say anything about it to Captain Colchester. But I stood there. I knew it was of any use, because I had seen the way the heavy anchor had carried over her, and then a swing into a smash against the bow. Before it dropped her into water, I had seen the way the well water beneath the bow was all coloured red. Ned, I found her a late afternoon when tide turned. She floated clear of one of the mooring buoys Next morning we tied up in the London docks. The men had been happy to come in into the home port, but they now remembered how she'd been happy to their own darling and never before seen a crew leave ships of quality. None of them, when they reached the north, turned back and cursed her under their breath. Minor insects answered. Music then. Finally, it was only Charlie and I, along with the quarterdeck, and Chalchester, a blow somewhere in the cabin. Charlie, deep in grief. She never wore it. Ted, the ring. She never wore it. Ned. Charlie, deep in grief. She never wore it, Ned. The ring. She never wore it, Ned. But she would have, Charlie. I know she meant to. If she was, he was just having a little fun with you, that's all. So with all of us on board, why did the brute have to go for begging wine? Ned, I guess there was not much else. I guess there's not much to answer for that. Trey, she was everything I wanted, everything. Ned, yes, Charlie, you know. Charlie had talked to him to making the voyage. It's my idea. Ned, it's no good, Charlie. There's police of thinking. I guess you know that. Charlie, I don't know. She's everything I wanted. Ted, Charlie, I, conscious of footsteps approach. Charlie, off. Oh, Mr. Wilmot. Ned, over here, Captain. Colchester, I mean, mate, going ashore. A shipkeeper come aboard, and now the two of you are free to do whatever you like. Ned, thank you, sir. Colchester, Charlie, oh, my method. Colchester, we think, Colchester. Ned, it's a good trip, Charlie. Kind of thinking, I guess that you know that. Ned, it's no good, Charlie's kind of thinking, I guess you know that. Charlie, I don't know, she's everything I wanted. Ned, Charlie? Cause his footsteps approach. Welchester? Oh, Mr. Wilmot. Ned, over here, Captain. Colchester, I'm going ashore. Shipkeepers come aboard. Now, the two of you are free to go wherever you like. Ned, thank you, sir. Colchester, wearily. Charlie? Oh, nothing. I was only in command in the morning. I never set foot on board her again as long as I live. Ned, I feel the same way, sir. Coach said, well, come into the company office in a day or two. I sign out for the log. Good day, gentlemen. Coach's foot says, depart, Ned. Charlie, we better go ashore. Two, we're done here. Charlie, yes, I suppose we are. Ned, I arranged to have our gear picked up later. There's no use of the shouts, Captain. Look out. Radwell's son's cool. It's pulled by crash of the onion gear. Crew, Captain calls in Ned, clear? Ned calls the crew, wrist him to himself, that yard wall off the main bus, fell right behind me. Tight behind me. Colchester yells, you miss me, it's me, a murdering brute. That's your last chance too, Johnny. You trust Ned? A shipyard we made for faster down Grass. Now it fails out to the top, the ship lying still in the wharf. Well, Ned, yes, Charlie, come on, let's go ashore. Charlie's terrible. Wasn't the devil certified for one trip? Is there no way of stopping her? How many more does she want to kill? Ned, sharply, Charlie, help us. Oh, Ned, take me home. Ned, Charlie was 10 years older by the time he reached home. It was 2 weeks before he'd do anything more than sit in his room, stare at a wall, saying nothing. Charlie, Captain Colchester cried out, fret, resigned from the company, and morning after he docked, I filed my application for transfer. Aunt Fanny was located and ready to sail, but she stayed on. Part of the wharf was nobody, lying in the wharf with nobody to take her out. And that's the way things are. I stood for 2 years until one morning, brown shell dropped. Door closes. Charlie, hello, Ned. Ned, relieved, Charlie, I wondered where you went this morning. Charlie, well, I left the house early. Ned, how do you feel? Charlie, fine, Ned. Mr. S tells me it's applying for transfer. Another ship, Ned. I've got to, well, yes. I did, as a matter of fact. How, you saw a man, S? Trey, yes, I suppose. Dropped in at his office this morning. Ned, it's up to you. Of course, but I hope you've changed your mind. Ned, I've not a chance. Trey, the ship sails tomorrow morning. Ned, surprised. Oh, so they're funny. Found something crazy enough to take us somewhere. Take around. Trey, yes, they did. Me. Ned, I've shocked you. You're going to be skipper the brute? Trey, that's right, Ned. Ned, but I thought Trey is a short voyage of America. Atlantic run. Be awfully glad to have you along with somebody I depend on. It should feel like signing on again. Ned, it's a plea. Charlie, of course it's up to you. Ned, all right. Size, all right, Charlie. I'll sign on again. Be glad to. Ned, he boomed off past the CNS light and headed off, hugging a lee shore. A stiff breeze. The ship drove ahead as steady as a barge, with scarcely a rollover or quiver. In spite of her smooth and easy way, she handed, I couldn't help feeling uneasy. I could sense the black spirit of her, brooding somewhere deep down inside, mocking and taunting us for her bloody memories, waiting for a new chance, mocking and taunting us for bloody memories, waiting for another chance. By nightfall, we were running hard in the a crashing shore where those rocky back headers break at intervals out of the shelving. Sandy beaches, the onshore wind held steady in our quarter, and an outstep sank behind the land some 3 miles away. Ned, it was a quiet, full dark yet when Charlie sent for me. I came up to where he was standing alone. Next to the wheel. Charlie, that you, Ned? Ned, think white, Charlie. Bus Wayne said you wanted to see me. Charlie, yes. I sent for you, Ned. Course husband. Hold her steady as you go. Toes to the wind. Grail denying off I spoke, Charlie, quiet. Been waiting here, standing here, thinking about Maggie. Ned, how she scrambled around over the decks, making friends with everyone. Having the time of her life. Ned, stern, Charlie, you've got to stop it. Charlie, calm, no, I'm all right. I think, still like to think about it. Ned, unhappy, it's this ship, and all the memories bound to end it. It was just I was afraid of. Charlie, yo, it's all right. Ned, I want you to take charge of the crew. Give an order, of course. You question an order, maybe you just carry it out anyway. Do you understand, Ned? What's with the order, Charlie? Trey, now have your old hands prepared to banish it? Have all hands prepared to turn the ship bed? What? Well, why? There's nothing wrong, Charlie firm. So I'm not. There's not an officer placed on question. An order by the captain. You do as you're told. Ned, yes, sir. Trey, you give the orders now, Mr. Wilmot. Ned, Charlie, I can't let you. Very well, Captain, shouts the crew, all hands on deck. Stand by for the boats, prepared to turn the ship. Crew first footsteps run around the deck. Crew off muttering and repeating orders to each other. Charlie, right, husband, find your place at the boats. I'll take them over the wheel. Husband, aye, sir, red. You don't know what you're doing, Charlie. I am in no danger. There's no reason to bend ship. Charlie, I know he's in danger. Aboard this black and hot brute. I have put her on the water now. She'll get the boats into the water when she yields. Hurry on. Ned shouts steadily, starting to go into quarter. Charlie, easy on, all right now. Ned shouts off my own hands, lower boats. Crew muttering and repeating orders to each other. Boats lowered in the water. Charlie, should have any trouble running ashore to that beach there, to the south? Ned, what about you? Try to hold on steady until everyone's clear. You better go over the side. The boat's standing there, Ned. Oh, no. Not until you do. I'm standing with you, Charlie. Trey, don't be a fool. Ned, I'm not going. Doing this alone. Ned, no, Charlie, not while I'm here. Trey, firm, Mr. Wilmot. You abandon ship and take all the sides of the ship boats in the water. That's an order. Ned, Johnny, you can't just Johnny. Sharply, Mr. Wilmot, Ned. Beat very well, Captain. Johnny Fisher, that's the spirit. Ned, lean to obey orders, step lightly. You'll be a sailorman yet. Good luck, Reed, Ned. Ned, thanks, Johnny. We stand by for you in the boat. Johnny, of course, Ned. Yeah, bye. Ned, bye. Ned, I slipped over the gunwale and dropped it to the boat. Ned, trailed the boom side on the line for the rail. It hardly hit the bottom when the line slackened. I knew Johnny had cut us loose and the ship. He was alone on her nail, alone in the night sea with a black brute. Helmsman, look, sir, look. He's leaning, he's over, waving from the wind. Ned, urgent. Charlie had put the helm over hard. I have a terrible shudder in the dark sails and a smother of white foam from bows. The great ship heeled about in a sharp turn, then began to drive ahead like some mad thing before the wind, straight towards the shore. How the looks are, the rocks on the headland. She's going to smash herself. Ned, faster and faster she plunged, head through the weltering seas. Faster and faster the back of her scale, the black hooded spirit as her scream in the rut lines held them. Look, sir, the rocks, what's the name of heaven is going to do? Ned, breaks, and for one long instant she hung poised at the top of a plunge and then drove smashing down into rock, downward into rocks. Longs now crash the surf, the ship smashed into rocks. Ned, somber, we stood by as close as we dared, for 3 hours while the killer ship pounded itself to bits, so did you see, but we didn't find up my brother, Johnny, and for the first minute, I knew we would, because just before I left the ship, there by the helm, I in the light of the broom light cool lamp, I seen the thing he's holding, clenched fist in his hand, outside. Hard fat brown fist, he was tiny, platinum ring set with blue white diamonds.